sure need to get some more. By the way, be careful you don't give to Santa Claus what belongs to the Lord. Amen? Yeah, that's a danger this time of year. Sure is. All right, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. We're time to get into chapter 4. We have to review so much here in Sunday school till it's a little bit of a problem. I'm teaching the book also in college, but we don't have quite as much mercy on them. Amen. But remember, Daniel is one of the Hebrew children taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar all the way into Babylon, as was predicted in the Old Testament. You remember Isaiah came before King Hezekiah, who was a good king, but made a mistake in showing the enemy all the wealth of Jerusalem. And Isaiah rebuked him for it and told him, what you've done, they're going to come back to steal it. And your seed or your sons, your grandsons, are going to be eunuchs in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. He predicted that. Now we have it being fulfilled in the book of Daniel. And we find that the king's had a dream, and we're going to get into a second dream that he's had now this morning in chapter 4. But you remember he had the dream of the big image, and his wise men, his Chaldeans, his magicians could not interpret it, but Daniel did. And in that interpretation, we have a prediction of all the world kingdoms right on up to the day and time that you and I are living, which makes it extraordinary beyond what the secular world can accept. They just say Daniel could not have been written way back then and written history in advance, but he did. And the Lord Jesus Christ quoted from him 500 plus years later in the book of Matthew, Matthew 24, Jesus quoting the book of Daniel. And so Daniel was a real person, lived at a real time. The miracles that we have in the book of Daniel are tremendous. And the history predicted, not only we look back on it now as history. When Daniel wrote much of it, it was prophecy. And only God's book can do that. There's not another religious book in India or the Muslim countries or anywhere that's truly books of prophecy. The Bible stands alone in that area. And, of course, that gives the authenticity to it of it being the very Word of God, inspired of God like it claims to be. We have in the Old Testament most of it written in the Hebrew, which is, we refer to it as the Masoretic text that was preserved by the Jews and the scribes as they copied it so meticulously that it's really pretty much above the critic's head today. Most of the criticisms of the intellectual crowd go against the New Testament, not the Old, because the Jews were so meticulous in getting every little detail copied. I've told you before how they respected the Word of God to the extent that when they started at the top of a page and ended at the bottom, the letters were counted. They had to come out just right. And if one overdid the margin, they had to start over. When they come to the Word God, the scribe had to go take an all-over bath, change clothes, and clean himself before he could write the name of God. You see, they actually believed they were handling the Word of God. Big far cry from everybody printing their own Bible today to make money off of it. Long gap of difference there between the two attitudes toward the Word of God. Anyway, Book of Daniel, preserved for us today, quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ, history in advance. Now we have the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, given to John on the Isle of Patmos, that comes along and fills in and complements and fits along with the book of Daniel. I will confess to you when I get to certain portions in Daniel that I am not 100% sure of the exact interpretation. But I'll say this, today we have more to measure by than any day in the church age to see how the truth has been fulfilled. So we do have an opportunity today to understand. Now, Daniel himself didn't understand all God told him to write. So when we get to the last chapter of Daniel, we'll find where he complains to the Lord that he don't understand. And the Lord tells him, that's okay, go your way. It's sealed up for a time. He told Daniel to stand in it, that he would stand one day in his own lot. Now, how many of you know what that means? You know what that means? When I was a kid on the farm, if somebody said, go to the lot, that was out there where it was fenced in for the mules or the cows or in front of the barn. It was an area that was designated. That's the only place they could be, the only place they could stay and fit in. Well, do you understand, you and I, as it seems to be in the Word of God, we are sort of ascribed to a lot. Daniel will stand in his lot. I will stand in my lot. You will stand in your lot. One day, the things that God, where God placed us, and the things he'll hold us responsible for. Daniel said, I'm paraphrasing this, basically said his head hurt trying to understand it all. You ever been there? Most likely, I've been there even a few times in the Bible, but I'm more likely to have my head hurt when I'm trying to put something together and hadn't read the instructions yet. You ever been there? Christmas is coming. You'll get there if you haven't been there. I can put that together, and then later on, the legs aren't equal or something else, and you wish you'd have read the instructions. Amen. We've been there. Come with me now to Daniel chapter 4. Now, the king had the dream of the big image. Apparently, it influenced him so that within the next number of years, he made an image and wanted everybody to bow down and worship it when they heard the music playing. We remember the three Hebrew boys wouldn't do it. He threw them in the fiery furnace, but the furnace wouldn't burn them. Not only that, but the Lord Jesus Christ joined them in the furnace, and he was the fourth man in the fire. That's kind of what we finished up with last week, was how the boys went through the fire and came out, and how the king seemed to begin to realize there's a God higher than mine, more powerful than mine. Because, see, it was a God contest. He had said to those boys when they wouldn't bow down to the music, he'd say, now what God is going to deliver you? In other words, who's going to jump over the king's word? Well, he found out who could. Amen. He found out the Lord God Jehovah could. So now we have something, and while most of the Bible, Old Testament written Hebrew, there's portions in Daniel that are written in the Chaldean language or the Babylonian language. And where you find those places, they generally relate to something like we're reading now, where the king himself is speaking. And so for 37 verses in this chapter 4 of Daniel, we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar undergo a conversion as he has another dream, and nobody can interpret it but Daniel. So let's begin in Daniel chapter 4. I may read a little more than usual. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Now, you say, well, he was thinking big. Well, he was the head of the world kingdom. It was the first world kingdom. He was the head of gold on that first dream, that first image. It says, peace be multiplied unto you. So he's writing a letter now, or publishing it, as we would say, in the papers and putting it on the 6:30 news. In other words, this is going out big time. This is quite a witness. He said, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God, kind of interesting he calls him the high God, with a capital G here in the English, hath wrought toward me. In the previous chapter, a couple of chapters, we find that there's reference made to many gods. Nebuchadnezzar is about to learn that there's only one that's really the powerful God, the high God. Highest of all is what he's saying here. Verse 3, how great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now, he's learned some stuff. Now, we're going to find out how he learned it as we go through these next verses. You know the lessons you remember the best are the ones that cause you to go through the most pain. And that's what's going to happen with the king here. He's got a bad time ahead of him. Quite a story. Tremendous story. He says, verse 4, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. Now, he's telling the truth. Boy, he lived at the top. says, I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head trouble me. We're going to find out this is the tree dream compared to the image that we studied before. So keep your dreams, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, separated here. Verse 6, therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. You'd think he'd learned his lesson with those guys, but he brings them back in again. And says, then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Now here's the difference. The first dream had escaped him. He couldn't remember it. And so he couldn't tell it to the in the first dream. So they said, tell us and we'll give the interpretation. The king got mad and would have killed them all except for Daniel, rescued them. But here it's a little different now. He remembers the dream, but he don't know what the interpretation is. He said, I didn't make known under the interpretation there. Verse 8, but at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar. That's the name Nebuchadnezzar had given him, naming him after his god Baal. According to the name of my God, here it is in the verse, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. See the little G and S on it, little gods. So he's talking here still of gods in the plural. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians. And Daniel had been moved to the head. He was their boss. Master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods, still going with little G gods here, is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. That's a pretty good sized tree, folks. A big one. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much. And in it was meat for all. All the beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heavens dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh were fed of it. He's talking about quite a tree. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher. And a holy one came down from heaven. Now here we get into a little bit of a mystery. A watcher, we're going to run across him in the next several verses, comes down. He's called a holy one. We find he comes from heaven. Now you folks that have watched the late night TV on the extraterrestrials and all of them, people being taken on trips and ladies having babies and spaceships and all that business, there are those that are trying to make and mix up heavenly beings like angels and, yes, the devil's crowd, even fallen angels. They're trying to get us into a big trick today, big deception today, to attribute to all this stuff extraterrestrials, even to the place that they're saying that extraterrestrials may have seeded the earth and produced us. All that junk. It's amazing the way men will go to dodge what God's word says. This can't stand God being the creator and can't stand even more that he's the savior. Amen. But anyway, that stuff, watch out for it. Even the Pope has said Jesus might be a star child. That is really something when you have the head of basically a world religion saying such a thing as that, and even having a telescope financed by the Vatican here in America, out in Arizona, watching for ETs, watching for life in space. I didn't invent none of that. If you don't like it, Radio Land, just check me out on what I said before you say it's not true. And so I'm saying to you, look out for this. Now, the word watcher here in the book of Daniel is one they throw around a little bit in that scheme of things that they're talking about. All we can learn from it here is God's got some eyes on us. Amen. He's got some servants up there that do his bidding. And here they're called a watcher. That in the very word, it tells us somebody does and can keep up with what we're doing and interfere with what we're doing and even give a message to us in some occasions. Nothing beats the message of the Word of God, and nothing will contradict the message of the Word of God. But here we have a mystery to some degree. Behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. So we know one thing about him. He was not of the devil's side, if he's a holy one, and he came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Destroy this big tree. But verse 15 says, nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Now, some of you, if you've ever worked in timberlands or cleared land, you know about trees and stumps and that sort of thing. And in the old days, there was, even in America, a few times, and still find it today, I don't know all about it, but sometime they would put a band of iron around the stump, and maybe to help preserve it, I don't know. I know when we were clearing all the big woods out there at youth camp, we learned a lot about stumps. We learned they're pretty hard to come up sometime. We learned quite a bit. We also learned in some occasions, not all of them, but in some occasions you can cut it off above the ground and leave it and let it rot. And when it rots, it's a lot easier to get that stump out than when it's fresh and green. I can also tell you there's such a thing as some stumps that won't rot. If you go out to our camp, and right as you walk into the door of the mess hall, right on the left side of that building, is a big, what we Southern boys would call a fat, lighted stump. It stands up there about 4 or 5 foot tall. When we pushed into that camp about 35 years ago, that stump was there. And we had a pretty fair-sized bulldozer, and we worked on it. And we worked on it. And we set fire to it. And we worked on it some more. And then we gave up. And it is still there. And it's just as strong today as it was when we fought with it and decided it had more right to be there than we did. And we left it alone. Now, we pushed up a lot of others and dug a lot of them up. And yes, if I guess you got the right machine, you could probably dig it up. But boy, that was a powerful stump. And so we left it. Didn't put a band of iron around it like you did here. But the detail here that's given, leave the stump, leave the roots in the earth with a band of iron. Then in verse 16, let his heart. Now all of a sudden the tree is his. It's personified. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let 7 times pass over him. 7 times we'll find out is 7 years. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. So whoever it was came down from heaven, an angel, we could say perhaps, a servant of the Lord. And it says, by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High, that's got to be God, of course, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it. And I don't like what I'm fixing to read, but it's there in the Bible. And setteth up over it the basis of men. Do you ever think about some of the rulers of the world, how God tolerates them? How they can be in control? with all the evil that is done, I don't understand this 100%. The Lord will have to give me a Bible lesson in heaven. How that somehow evil rulers get in power. Now you find in the Bible some were, and some were good, and some were bad. Yet you find out where God even judged the bad, held them accountable later. He's actually holding Nebuchadnezzar accountable here for his treatment of the Jews and so forth. So I'm going to pass over that, and you can come to me with your opinion, no matter how ridiculous it is, but we'll listen to it. All joking aside, it's just saying God is sovereign. He is sovereign. And sometime, like he's doing here with Nebuchadnezzar, he changes the heart of a bad guy and makes a good guy out of him. So this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, declare the interpretation thereof. Forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now he is still ascribing Daniel's power to plural gods. He's still having a little trouble understanding Daniel's God is above all the Babylonian gods, and that he is all powerful. So he's still saying the spirit of the holy gods, little g, is in thee. And he's assuring Daniel, I know you can do it. Well, he had the experience with the first dream where Daniel interpreted and the others couldn't. So he's got a right to have some confidence in Daniel. Verse 19, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour. Now, humanly speaking, I could see where Daniel was hesitating, because this dream is not good for the king. And he's standing before the guy that can chop his head off, throw him to the lions again, or in the fiery furnace. And at least we get one lesson from Daniel. It appears, at least for 1 hour, that he decided to think about it, maybe pray about it. We'd all be better off sometime if we did a little thinking before we made a decision. So here he stands before the ruler of the world, humanly, most powerful king. And for 1 hour, it seems he was puzzled, appears to be. His thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. The king may have had a suspicion. Maybe Daniel's afraid to tell me the truth. I don't know. But he tells him, don't be troubled about it. I want the truth. You know, some of you go to the doctor and you tell the doctor that. Give it to me straight, doc. Tell me the truth. I don't know if that's a good idea sometime or not, but a fellow went to the doctor and said, my wife said, examine me. Something is wrong with me. She says I have no energy. I won't do nothing. Said, check me out. So the doctor did. He come back after running a bunch of tests. He said, sir, said, I can't find anything wrong with you, but the fact is you're lazy. He said, quick, doc, give me a big word so I can give it to my wife. Now, the truth is, sometimes we don't want to know the whole truth. The king is saying he does, that he wants to know the whole truth. Don't let it trouble you, Daniel. Go ahead and tell me. That's what he's saying. And Belteshazzar answered, verse 19, and said, my Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Now, I'll guarantee the king had both. I'm sure he had a crowd that hated him. I'm sure he had enemies, and probably some in his own kingdom for sure. Anybody that leads any kind of group at one time or another is going to have some folks that are against him, some folks that are critics, some folks that rebel. I don't care whether it's politics, I don't care whether it's a big company, I don't care whether it's a church or whatever. That's human nature, folks. That's the bad part of our human nature. It just really is. And so I'm sure old King Nebuchadnezzar had plenty of them. Daniel said, they're going to love to hear what's going to happen to you. They're going to rejoice over this bad stuff that I've got to tell you about. So in verse 20, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the fields dwelt, upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation, it is thou, O King. The tree is you. It is thou, O King. Thou art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. That's the world kingdom that was predicted. Nebuchadnezzar had fulfilled it. Years had rolled by, and he was that head of gold. He was that first world kingdom. Verse 23, and whereas the king saw a watcher, and again it calls him a holy one, and a holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it. Yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass and the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. And let his, that tree becomes personal again, pronoun, let his portion be with the beast of the field. Again, seven times, till seven times pass over him. Seven times we find out his years. And so here's the prediction. Nebuchadnezzar's going to be cut down. He's going to lose his kingdom. He's going to lose it for 7 years. Not only that, the heart of a beast is going to be given to him that he can go out and live with the cattle in the green pasture, eat grass like them, and begin to grow his hair and his fingernails and so forth to where he looks like a beast himself out there. Boy, you talk about taking a king from on a royal throne and bringing him down on the level, not of the janitor or the guy that rakes his yard, but down on the level of the cattle in his field. My, 7 times is going to pass over. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my Lord the King. Now, there is a lot of history written concerning the kingdoms of the world. Good and bad, men sometimes doing their best, sometimes trying to pervert it, but there is a lot of thick books written concerning history. And here you got Babylon, a lot of history written about it. Babylon was a big deal. King Nebuchadnezzar was a big deal. And there's a lot of writing about it. I teach Daniel in college, and for my students that might be in here, I'll throw you out a challenge because I haven't had time to do it. I'd throw you out a challenge to dig in some of the world history, whatever way you can. See if you can find this episode in what I would call secular history, because it's so unusual that a king would be dethroned. And as we're going to read, he would be out with the animals for 7 years. And yet at the end of it, God's going to restore him and bring him back and give him his throne again. Now, I want to tell you, that's pretty unusual. You just let a politician leave his office for a while. He'd be lucky if he ever comes back and gets reinstated. Right. Now, you can put that in the CEO of a company or head of anything. Disappear for 7 years, get locked up in the asylum for 7 years, in the nut house. See if your staff and all the people you ruled over want you again. To rule over them again, not likely, not likely. I don't know of any other case of it, to tell you the truth, except the one here in the Bible. Now, I'm jumping ahead of myself because I only got 1 minute left. But I have looked it up, and my memory's not all that good on it now. I've looked it up in probably one of the greatest histories of the world, and that's the Antiquities of Flavius Josephus, the Jewish historian, and he records it. like it's recorded in the book of Daniel, and he puts a note on it, and he says, "Don't think me defective for reporting this." He said, "I am reporting it from all the ancient books." I don't know what those ancient books are other than the Hebrew Bible, and some of it was that. But here's what I'm saying to you. This is a big, big event that took place and lasted 7 years, and yet the king, we'll read the rest of it. Now, don't read ahead on me. Being facetious with you, but he's going to get restored. So if you can find it in history, and especially I'd say this, if you're in my college class and you can find it and document it, I'll give you some extra points. And some of them in my college class needs extra points. I'll tell you that. All right, time is up. We let the choir go out and get ready to come in.